Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the 42nd installment of the Black Girl Nerds podcast. My name is Jamie. I am your host. That's right, guys. Tomorrow is the season finale of Sleepy Hollow. So what better way to start off our Sunday podcast by talking about one of the best and hottest shows of the fall season, Sleepy Hollow. So episode 42 is Sleepy Hollow Talk. If you want to join us in our discussion, you can do two things. You can contact us via Twitter using the hashtag BGNPodcast. That allows you to engage with us, ask questions, tweet comments. We will address them on the air. Or if you want to call us and talk to us, give us your 2 cents, or you have questions, you can give us a call. The phone number is 347-237-4616. Our co-hosts tonight are Ashley, Lisa, and Delay, and we will introduce them later on in the show. Before we get started, though, I do want to make a couple of announcements. If you go to the website, blackgirlnerds.com, this week we're running a BGN Healthy Eating Series. So really just trying to encourage folks to get healthy this season. I know we have many of us have New Year's resolutions to get healthier, lose weight. So just trying to push that encouragement to you guys by focusing on topics of nutrition and various eating styles, with vegan eating, vegetarian eating, paleo eating, whatever your choice is. But we're also helping to encourage you by doing a giveaway. So go to the site. NatureBox has been generous enough to partner with us to do this giveaway. And if you enter to win, you will win a free 3-month subscription to NatureBox, and they deliver healthy snacks right to your door. So take advantage of that and go to blackgirlnerds.com and enter to win. The contest ends next week. Also, check out Zazzle.com. Zazzle.com is where we have a store. It's www.zazzle.com/blurredgasm. If you go there, there's tons of merchandise for you to choose from that's got our logo on it. Also starting, it may be uploaded now if you go to the website. If not, it'll be there tomorrow. There's some new logos that's been printed. So if you already have merchandise and you're like, ooh, I like that logo too, check it out and definitely support us. The monies that go into that store help fund these podcasts and keep us thriving each and every week. And if you're not really interested in merchandise but you still want to support us, then just go to the website. On the right sidebar, there's a donate button. Just click on the donate button, and you can support us that way. Thank you very much. And to all that's already donated and purchased items, thank you, thank you. All right, so I am going to pass the virtual mic over to our co-hosts. Starting tonight, we have Ashley, Lisa, and Delay. In that order, if you can just introduce yourself, give us your social media shout-outs, and any new projects that you're currently working on.
Hey, everyone. I'm Ashley. I am the founder of Graveyard Shift Sisters. It is a website and blog that celebrates women of color and black women in the horror community. You can find me on Twitter with that site at Graveyard Sis, I'm sorry, as well as we have a Facebook and a Tumblr page, and we also are more than happy to have contributors. If you want to talk about black women in horror in any way, shape, form, or fashion, please do so.
Who's up next?
Is that me?
Lisa? Well, Delay, go ahead.
All right. Hi, everybody. My name is Dele Adams. My Twitter handle is at Dele Mage, DeleMage. I am a avid fan of the show, Sleepy Hollow, and I'm a contributing writer for GeekMundo.net, a small but up-and-coming geek entertainment news website. Find us at GeekMundo.net. And that's just about it from me, but I am very passionate about the show, and I'm really looking forward to this panel.
Hey, everyone. My name is Lisa Elliott, and I am the founder of AlittleBash.com. It is everything for home entertainment and party planning, and it's to get people back to family and friends. All of my social media is exactly that name, AlittleBash.com. We do guest blogs, so if you have any tips or advice helping people get back to their family and friends, contact me.
All right, let's get started. So, first question, and we'll start in the order of Ashley, Lisa, and then Delay. Who is your favorite Sleepy Hollow character and why?
I would probably say my favorite character is, the first thing I think of is Abby, but I like the little tidbits of the show where I see a quality in each person that kind of reminds me of another character from a movie or a television show that I really like. But I think I probably like Abby the most, maybe because it's a character that could be easily played by any adept actress, but the fact that it's a black woman is really, really great. And so I really appreciate that. So.
Awesome.
I would have to piggyback off of that and say it is a toss-up because I do love Ichabod, but I like Abby's. She has a subtly strong character, if that makes any sense to me, and it's not a... I love the show in general because it's not about color, but I like her strength in this role. It's just not over the top. It's not stereotypical.
Mm-hmm.
It's right on point. It's right on point for me.
I'll agree with that. For me, my favorite character is Abby, easily, although it's a pretty tough competition between her and Jenny, honestly. Mm-hmm. I like her because almost her entire persona is a kind of an upturning of the typical black woman portrayed on television nowadays. She's ordered, she's non-Bible thumping, she's not loud, she's not full of attitude, and that whole, and I'm putting in brackets here, strong. She has this wonderful vulnerability, and she's spiritually skeptical. And for some reason, I love that. I gravitate towards that because it's a kind of a send-up of what you typically see black women being, how they're represented on television nowadays, and I love that.
Wow, okay. Well, surprisingly enough, Abby, I wouldn't say, is my favorite character, even though I love and adore Abby, and she is the reason why I tuned into Sleepy Hollow. But my favorite character is Ichabod Crane. I love him. He's funny. He's a teacher. He's able to master the art of just walking this fine line between being very prudish but not condescending. And I think that that's, you know, I think that that's something that's very interesting for me in his character. And he just really, every week, he doesn't cease to amaze me with him being surprised by something that's new in contemporary culture or him schooling someone on historical accuracies. I just love that aspect of Ichabod Crane. So he's actually my favorite character on the show.
Yeah, he's definitely lovable in that sense. I think he gives the show a nice balance of that light comedy and the drama part of it, which is, I really love that too. So I totally agree.
Yeah. Yep.
Definitely, he has an old world charm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's I love. That's pretty cool, and it makes you laugh.
Yeah. Yeah, and it's not corny. Like it's genuinely humorous. Some of his Ichabodisms, so to speak. So my second question is, what are your opinions surrounding the Sleepy Hollow fandom. Do you know of any blogs or websites or social networks that you can suggest where fans can get their fix in?
I personally, because I'm so into Tumblr now, more than I've ever been, just for historical purposes, because I like the archive aspect of it, so I found, I think it is the F word, and then the word, yeah, Sleepy Hollow, which I see a lot on Tumblr, and yeah, that's what it is. It's FGS Sleepy Hollow, and I love it to death. You find people do artwork, you know, people have gifts, like, oh, there's all kind of mishmash of fan creation, which is what I love about fan culture in general, is that we are active, and that we're producers of, you know, the way we interpret these shows, and I really like that, and I think that Tumblr page for Sleepy Hollow is really excellent.
Yeah,
go ahead.
Oh, sorry. Yeah, I think the fandom is well deserved. I don't know about any particular sites. The Tumblr one is that one leaks out, and you already called that one. I've seen a couple of pieces on for fan art on like places like DeviantArt.com. Some really cute stuff, and it's just, you know, wonderful to look at. But on the fandom itself, I think the show has a kind of appeal to a much wider audience than other attempts have in the past. It's adult without being crass, and it's spooky and haunting without being, you know, soil your pants freaky, although the last episode kind of made me change my mind a little bit. Personally, I haven't visited any fan sites, but I see, you know, the stuff like on DeviantArt. There's a Nikki Bihari fan page on Facebook that seems to be gaining a bit of traction. And of course, you know, there are numerous places that you'll find there Tom Meisen art and fandom, but I haven't really been honing in on that. I've just kind of been concentrating on my own fandom.
I think the fandom is also well-deserved. I think people were looking for something new and refreshing, and they're tired of horrible TV, as I call it. They're tired of just, you know, poor writing and just being given anything to watch on television. One of the websites that I am aware of is SleepyHollowWeb.com, and it's a fun site to go on and even see all of your characters and learn different snippets. And they even were running a campaign to vote to get the show to be a People's Choice Award. So SleepyHollowWeb.com.
Yeah, and if you are a fan fiction nerd, I like to read fan fiction on occasion. There's a ton of fanfic out there on Sleepy Hollow. Fanfiction.net, which is my go-to source, they've got a lot of stuff up there. And if you're new to Sleepy Hollow and you kind of want to get a background of what the show's about, there's always the wiki site that helps you to keep updated on all of the cast of characters. And even if you currently watch the show and you're like, I think I missed something, I always like going to the Sleepy Hollow .wikia.com website. So my third question is, Ichabod's very archaic vernacular and being naive to contemporary culture is funny and interesting, as I had mentioned before, to a lot of the fans on the show. Do you have a favorite icky word or phrase from Sleepy Hollow?
Not that I could think of off the top of my head. Like, I usually try to, when I live tweet, I try to archive that with, like, I try to quote it as soon as, like, I hear it and then, like, write it down, like, keep it on my Twitter so, like, I can go back to it and laugh. But nothing in particular stands out. I think, it's funny, I think he has that moment in at least in every episode, like, in one particular moment. But I find them all endearing.
Yeah, I agree.
I laugh at him every show, so there's not one in particular, but the conversation that he and Abby had when he was discussing, he was surprised what words have evolved into, and one that sticks out was what sexual intercourse used to mean, and what it means now. You remember that conversation? And then
yes.
Abby was very funny when she switched the words around. But when he first, when the show first started, I also remember when he was surprised that she was free and the way he was talking to her. So he said, "So you are free?" And she was looking at him like he was crazy because they thought he was crazy. Because he really wasn't aware of her, of black people being free and not slaves. So those are the two that stand out, the sexual intercourse, and when he was looking at her in jail, asking her if she was free.
Yeah, that was a classic. I think, for me, Ichabod's incredulous response to having to buy bottles of water, and that was mixing
yes.
with the horror of what we've done to this planet. What have you done with this planet? And then his conversation
awesome.
With Yolanda for North Star in the car was another highlight for me. Those are the two that stand out immediately. But, I mean, you can pick and choose. His responses to modern life are just hilarious. Oversized hosiery. That was another one.
Yes. For me, my favorite was when it was, I think it was the pilot episode when Luke had came in and you had pretty much, they alluded to the fact that they were exes. And then he was like, "Oh, are you once betrothed?" So when he used the word betrothed, that was my that was my moment. I was like, "Oh my God, I love that word." So I did love that about Ichabod Crane. I want to just say really quick, we just got a tweet from Nikki Biari. She said,
"Wow."
She said, "Juicy." So thank you, Nikki, for tweeting us. Feel free to call us. Our number is 347-237-4616. We actually have somebody
Please
on the
do.
Line. We've got somebody on the line now, so I'm going to bring them in, see if they got any questions for us. Area code 310, you're on the air with Black Girl Nerds. What's your name and where are you from?
Hi, this is Bougie Girl, and I'm from Kansas, but I've lived all over both coasts and in the Southwest. And I just want to give you guys a shout-out because I'm so glad that you guys have this show, because I was born in 1974, and I was like the only black girl that I nerd that I knew until I was about 28 years old. So thank you. I'm trying not to cry right now. And as far as Sleepy Hollow, I didn't want to like that show. I was, because I'm all about Supernatural and Haven and, shows like that. I was like, "Oh, I don't know, it's going to be lame." And you know what? I watched it, and then I couldn't stop watching. I watched like 4 episodes in one sitting, and I was like, I need more.
We all feel that way, yeah.
I agree wholeheartedly. They're right
and
with
I
you,
really,
and I got the Kleenex.
Oh, go ahead.
I have the Kleenex. I really do feel you on that one. It is a thing to be a geek and black. And
yes.
Where I grew up, I'm a guy, yes, but you felt alone. And to come into, to meet an entire community of people who share the same passions about the things that you're passionate about, I love that. That's awesome. So, yeah.
Heck yeah, you guys are awesome, and I've been listening to your show in the archives because I always forget you guys come on Sunday night because I get caught up in Netflix. That's my Netflix, catching up night, and I'm really showing my nerdiness, and then I have to prepare for Sherlock's coming on tonight on American TV, so I'm getting all my stuff ready, and but I just want to thank you, and just for this public service, because there's a lot of black girl nerds out there that are my age or a lot younger, and there just isn't sometimes in your direct community. There's not the support because in the black community, everyone's trying to look cool.
Mm-hmm.
And for me, whenever I wanted a guy to get away from me on the dance floor, I didn't get my boyfriend. I started popping and locking, and he didn't know what to do. He's like, "Oh, man, maybe she's like, I don't know, something's wrong with her." I would pop and lock and, start doing the running man, and the dude would just walk off. No one needed to get stabbed or shot or nothing. That's my self-defense. And the black community people, if you start geeking out, they think you're crazy or whatever, and they'll just walk away. They don't mess with crazy people. That's bad luck, right? So
right.
thank you guys for taking my call. You guys are awesome. Keep up the good work.
Thank you. Thanks for calling in. Take care.
Mm-hmm.
Awesome. I'm still starstruck over the tweet we just got a little bit ago from Nikki.
Yeah, that's great.
Yeah, that's awesome,
I'm about to faint over here.
I know. I'm just like, oh.
Pardon myself. I'm having a strong constitution, but that would make my entire week.
Yeah, just a side note, I've seen her act in other movies and stuff where she's played like a variety of different characters, and I love that. I love an actress that pushes her boundaries that way, who's playing all types of different, you know, characters that aren't like directly race related or overly stereotypical. Nikki, you know, perfects that, and I love her for that, so I just want to say that.
Well, yeah. She was in Shame opposite Michael Fassbender, and that was flatliningly amazing.
Yes.
She was in American Violet, The Express.
Yes.
She has a great body of work, and she has a lot of range. You'll find actresses, not just black actresses, but actresses in general, it seems, roles aren't really crafted to play to their strengths too much, and she seems to be able to find herself and really ingrain herself in each character. So she's a chameleon. She's like Daniel Day-Lewis, a true chameleon, and she's really good at what she does. So I utterly believe every role that she occupies, and Abby is no different. And I love that.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Are there any favorite moments of Icky's sort of response to modern ways? Is there any moments that you had on the show this season that you were just like, wow, that was really funny?
Finding the pause button, and it was the hallelujah moment for him.
Oh, the pause, yeah. That was a good one.
Or the skinny jeans one, which is the most recent.
Oh, yeah.
The skinny jeans, definitely.
Skinny jeans.
Absolutely.
It's the sign of the apocalypse. I also liked the voicemail message. I just thought that was so endearing. Like
he sounded
like he was writing a formal letter, and it was a voicemail message. It was classic. And then it was so funny on Twitter. Everybody was like, "I'm gonna have that as my voicemail message or my greeting." So it was classic. That was my favorite moment.
Yeah, you can probably record that off of YouTube or something. That's a good idea, actually.
Somebody has it on SoundCloud. So
that's amazing.
Yeah, all you have to do is just
Google. Well, I'm going to go look for that now.
Yeah, Google Ichabod Crane voicemail message. It comes right up. So, and I'm
hilarious.
Sure they're not the only site that does that, but yeah. So we got a tease last week, and Ashley brought this up in her favorite moment. We got a tease last week of Icky in skinny jeans. Should Ichabod Crane get a full makeover? Why or why not?
I thought it was interesting that he put back on his other clothes after he put on the clothes that Abby had, I believe, bought for him. So I don't know, to be honest with you. It's like I like to see that change. Like that was like a really nice surprise to see him in the skinny jeans and the nice, you know, button down. But then he went back to his older clothes. So I'm just like, well, you know, maybe that was a part of just us kind of like, hey, we just have to accept him for who he is, and this is how he rolls. We may never really see him do that again unless they go undercover. That would be really neat. So who knows?
I agree. Yeah.
I think I want him to stay the way he is.
Mm-hmm.
Unless they do go undercover. I agree with that. I don't want him to become assimilated into our culture that much yet. I want to see a team where they dress him up, and then he does whatever they need him to do, and then he goes back to his look. It's endearing.
Yeah.
I agree with that. For me, the skinny jeans, the first thing that came out of my mouth was an entire world of no. even I felt constriction in my nether regions when I saw him in those things, and I was grateful that he took them off.
Nether regions.
I think a lot of Crane's old world charms come from his antiquated style of dress. It sets him apart, but he still fits. He still fits in this modern time. It's who he is. I think if he was made over, all of that would get lost, and he would just be another guy with obscenely long hair. I agree that he's overdue for a sort of dry cleaning, though. I'll agree with Abby on that one. but I think you know, Ichabod Crane is Ichabod Crane when he is dressed as Ichabod Crane in his knee-high boots. You know, if he were to put on skinny jeans and button-down shirts, then consider his subscription to Vogue magazine canceled. yeah, I prefer him old world.
Well, I've been pretty vocal on Twitter. I'm okay with a makeover, but I know that that's not going to happen. What I hope happens is that there'll be either what Lisa had mentioned, that there will be an undercover, you know, episode where he can dress up, or there will be those moments where, you know, he had that skinny jean constriction scene and there's some humor. So I hope that throughout the season we get to see him, you know, change his wardrobe here and there. But I know that overall that he's always going to have his 2-century-old coat and attire throughout the season. But it's nice. He cleans up really well. So, I don't know. Maybe that's my personal fantasy.
That was funny, too, when she told him that he didn't want to change his style. He could go get some dry cleaning.
Right.
It's two words I can understand.
Right. Exactly.
I mean, it makes me wonder, too, the writers of the show, first of all, how soon did they film these in advance? Because I'm certain that this show has already been filmed prior to it airing. But it's very interesting that they created that episode, because a lot of the fandom in the community is, oh, gosh, Ichabod's wardrobe is old and antiquated and he needs to change into new clothes, and it seems like that's a very popular topic among fans, and then they actually talked about it on the show. So I just found that to be very interesting. It was almost as if the writers were listening to the fans at some point and decided, oh, okay, let's go ahead and address this issue on the show. But wishful thinking.
Yeah.
It would be nice if the fans did listen, or the writers did listen into the fans.
The fans have been talking about it for a long time. I agree. Trying to think. Like I said, I kind of like him in his regular rags. Like that's who he is, and that's a part of his character, and I dig it. So.
Totally. Well, what do you guys make of Jenny and Abby's very complicated relationship?
I'll go. It made more sense, obviously, from this past episode. Like, I like how they explained it without, you know, I think the writers are doing a really excellent job, because it made things start to make more sense to me. Like I said, especially for Sleepy Hollow, I'm just along for the ride and I'm kind of enjoying it. I don't like to do too much predictions, but I like that their relationship is so complex. It's like on the surface you're thinking it's just two sisters going at it, but there's so much more to it. And I think throughout the season the writers have shown us that, and we've seen tidbits of it here and there. And I kind of like the progression it's taking. I don't think it's ever going to be perfect. I don't ever think they're going to be the Judds, but I think, you know, they obviously, you know, love and care about each other, and I think we're going to see more of that as we go along. We're going to see a lot of fighting, but also a lot of, you know, the way they know how to show affection towards each other.
I think the writers are doing an excellent job of stretching the storyline out so that you get to understand why it's so complicated, but also letting you see that there is still love there between the two of them. The way she hugged her sister after they got the daughter back,
mm-hmm,
showed you,
mm-hmm,
that she was trying to be there for her, and she always has been, and that they're still sisters. That touched me, but it is an excellent job, I think, that they're doing, filling in the holes so that you can see. Because at one point I was like, why have they not been even in touch with each other? Like, where was she? Because she wasn't locked up the whole time. And as she's riding around with Ichabod and the, I can't think of his
the character whose daughter was in trouble last week. I'm drawing a blank. And she's
Captain
having
Irvin.
A conversation. Yes. With these two, you see that she was out working with the guy that took them in and raised them for a short period. So she was off doing things. So they're just filling in the blanks, but I like the way that they are bringing it home, so to speak.
Yeah, I think the relationship is complicated because they're siblings. That's what siblings do. We fight with each other, but we still love each other. And that is central to the way that Jenny cares about Abby. Abby is only really beginning to realize just how deeply her sister cares for her, to the point that she was willing to put herself in lockdown to make sure that she didn't hurt her sister because of this external influence of Moloch. And then spending time, of course, with Abby's partner on the slide, because Abby had no idea what was going on, but Jenny knew. Jenny knew all of these things, and she hid them from her sister because, you know, she realized that her sister kind of shut that part of her life away, and it would make her super vulnerable if Moloch wanted to touch her life. She put herself in harm's way specifically, and that came from a place of love. And I think the writers recognized that, you know, siblings will fight and bicker, but as long as you have that love there, that will always dictate how you respond to your siblings or your family members or close family members. So Jenny, I think, really loves her sister. It's just that she had difficulty expressing it. And what Abby did was she, in the last episode, she switched places. So now she was protecting her baby sister. And that spoke volumes to me. It was one of those, you know, grab the Kleenex moments. She stepped in front of the demon and, you know, you're not touching my sister. And that, I think, meant more to Jenny than anything else that Abby had done up to that point.
And what I'd like to do is, rather than addressing the question myself, I want to go to Twitter and just read some of the comments that we're getting right now from our live listeners. So this, that, not, Popehead, she says, Jenny and Abby's relationship, I love it. I don't recall ever seeing black sisters having this type of interaction on TV. That's a good point. Mm-hmm. Also, Alicia the Nerd, she says that she totally agrees, can't remember having a black sister duo having such a complex relationship. And she also says in another tweet, I wasn't expecting Jenny and Abby's relationship to be so complex. I just love their sister bond, one of my favorite things. And then we also have a tweet from April Lynn October. She says, Abby and Jenny's complicated relationship is one of the best parts of the show. I love them so much. So, a lot of folks love the Jenny-Abby dynamic.
Yeah.
I agree.
It's really great. I love seeing multi-layered relationships on television, and you know you're dealing with really good writers when you have all of this subtext going on, and that it's more than just what meets the eye when you see these two characters. So I'm glad that they have such a complex relationship. I'm glad that there's a lot of history that we're seeing between these two that have made them the women that they are today. And, you know, it makes you wonder what's going to be next for them in season two, and if either their bond is going to be stronger or if there's going to be something that's going to split them up. You know, we don't know, but I just like the complexity of their relationship. So Captain Irving, played by Orlando Jones, will he continue to be a skeptic with all of the paranormal activities that are surrounding Sleepy Hollow? Is that skepticism going to change, or do you think that he's now coming along and obviously what's happened recently with his own daughter becoming a demon, do you think that he's starting to warm up to the paranormal activities of Sleepy Hollow?
I'm going to go with this the guidelines of the X-Files a little bit, and
the way me and people on Twitter have interacted talking about the similarities between the X-Files and Sleepy Hollow is he is kind of like that head character, like one of the characters on the X-Files, where he pretty much remained a skeptic throughout the entire series, but at the same time weren't completely dismissive of them. And I think, but I can see those qualities, even though Sleepy Hollow is almost a season in, I see those qualities in Captain Irving's character. Like, he's totally going to use the paranormal and utilize it to, you know, protect his family, to, you know, kind of follow what's kind of going on with him and the rest of the characters. And at the same time, it's not, we won't, like, necessarily perceive, like, he's not going to be that believer type, I think, if that makes any sense.
Yeah.
I think he's was starting to come around. He was trying to understand what was going on, but after this past episode, I think he's definitely all in. He's not 100% a believer. I believe he will definitely be after this past show.
Yeah, I'll chime in on that. Yeah. Considering the events of the last episode, we think the good captain is far beyond any sort of skepticism at this point. Seeing his daughter being turned into something else entirely before his eyes, it was just kind of freaky. I was like, Rue, not Rue, no!
right.
But what happened to him there in that episode, it was a test of his faith. Not the least of which was, you know, his pastor's neck being turned all the way around. That was mind-blowing. I said, okay, they went there? Right. I think in the next episode, in the finale, he's going to be coming to terms with what just happened. And one of two things will happen. Either he'll go into complete denial, or he's all in. I'd like to think, being as pragmatic as he is, he'll be all in. And he's like, okay, we got to get this evil out of here. That's what I think he will end up doing, so.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that it's good to have a skeptic. You know, everybody shouldn't have to always agree to paranormal events and supernatural events that happen. And I just want to read a tweet that was articulated perfectly by Melody Gordon. She says, I hope the captain never gets used to it. I like that one person is grounded in reality. An unbeliever makes the story realistic. And I agree with that. I totally agree with that. I want to move on, because we've got a lot of questions here, to Twitter and Sleepy Hollow. What are your thoughts of Sleepy Hollow's presence on Twitter?
Repeat the question.
What are your thoughts about Sleepy Hollow's presence on Twitter?
Oh, on Twitter. I think it's, I don't know if I have an answer to that question. I see a substantial following on Twitter. I think especially, I'll even, like I said, I'm going to even go back to even Tumblr with this, because if I tumble something Sleepy Hollow related, I get so many hits, and I think that's really interesting and, like, kind of cool too. I think there's a big presence of fans on Twitter, and I think the whole live tweeting platform is really, really great, and it's really great to interact with other people in that way as well.
I don't follow it as much on Twitter as I do on the web, and so I can't really speak to that.
I can't help it. I love it. The interaction with the fans, and as we just saw with Nikki chiming in, I love the interaction. That kind of thing will go a long way in cementing the series in the hearts and minds of fans and potential fans, people who haven't watched the show yet or are unfamiliar with it. I mean, come on, who hasn't felt like $1 million when you get retweeted by a writer or one of the cast members? That's awesome. That's a major selling point for me. It just makes me want to continue to promote the show in my own nerdy little way to others who, you know, don't know about it or are completely ignorant of it. Like, oh, you gotta watch this show. It's just, you know, that's how it works for me.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, I think that these shows that participate and engage with the audience, they get it. They're doing it right. Scandal started this whole live tweeting phenomenon, and a lot of these shows are following suit. And Sleepy Hollow did it right by starting in the beginning, because sometimes I'm noticing these new shows, they'll come out, and they don't really get involved in Twitter until 3 or 4 episodes in. But they started from the beginning. They got the fans amped up. Orlando Jones is amazing. This guy is just, you know, Orlando Jones is like us. It's like he's watching the show, and he's a fan just like the rest of us, and he's making fun of the characters and, you know, putting out GIFs and Tumblr links and stuff. And I just think it's so hilarious that he engages himself in the show in a way where he's not the actor in the role playing, you know, Captain Irving. He's not playing Captain Irving watching Twitter. He's actually just a fan like all of us, you know, listening to it via playing with it via Twitter and such. So I like that, and I like the fact that the Sleepy Hollow account stays engaged throughout the week. I mean, they don't just wait until Monday night to live tweet it. Every single day of the week, they're tweeting pictures and links and quotes from the show. So they work diligently to stay consistent, and I think that that's very important, because you got to remember, there's folks that still haven't seen Sleepy Hollow yet, and there may be a retweet from somebody that they're following, and they'll see Sleepy Hollow and go, oh, what's this about? And they'll feel inclined to check out what the series is all about just from being on Twitter. So Sleepy Hollow is definitely doing it right, and my only request is I really wish I could see the other actors tweet as often as Orlando does. I know Nikki Bahari, who just tweeted to us tonight, thank you, she participated in one episode. Tom Meissen, I don't think he's live tweeted at all. So I would like to see him. Yeah, he's got a Twitter account. He's got a verified account, but I'd like to see him participate. But overall, it's great. I love it, and they're very engaged with the fans. We've got somebody on the call that's waiting to talk to us, so I'm going to bring them in. I do apologize that it took so long to get you on. Area code 301. You're on the air with Black Girl Nerds. What's your name and where are you from?
Oh, hi. It's Natty Willie.
Hey, Natty Willie.
Hello.
Hey.
Hey. How's it going? I'm listening to the show, and I'm like, we're talking about Sleepy Hollow.
So
yeah, I'm loving
about...
Oh, go ahead.
Oh, yeah. What are your thoughts about the fandom surrounding Sleepy Hollow and then also its presence on Twitter?
Oh, I think their presence on Twitter is great. They definitely started out. Orlando Jones is awesome. Like, he retweeted one of my tweets, like, from the first episode. I'm like, oh, my gosh, that's so cool. And he was also on Sci-Fi-Gasm's live chat when we were, like, watching the show. I was like, that is so cool.
Yes.
So Orlando Jones has been on point. Jenny has also live tweeted, I know, and, of course, Nikki. So... and a lot of the writers, too. But
yeah.
I'm loving the show. I'm definitely looking forward to the season finale, what they're going to do with it. I'm along for the ride. It's kind of hard to figure out where they're going to go with it, if they're going to resolve the story arc, like defeating one demon and then having to deal with another one for next season. How is the sun going to play into it? Because they kind of left that open, so...
Yeah, some people think the sun is going to come back with a vengeance in season 2. What are your thoughts about that? Any predictions?
Yeah. Well, I think they're going to like resurrect him as kind of like a cliffhanger. And then it's like he's going to like open his eyes, and then for next season maybe initially come out bad, but Ichabod is going to have to talk to him and trying to develop a relationship with him, and hopefully it'll work out, and they'll both be in it to defeat the evilness that's, you know, in Sleepy Hollow.
Do you have a favorite character and why?
I like Icky and Jenny, but I also like, I like all of them. It's like each one like brings a different dynamic to the show. I mean, Ichabod, Tom Meissen is great as Ichabod, and the one-liners is just adorable, and just him transitioning into the modern world while dealing with this supernatural aspect. And of course, Abby, it is so nice to have like an African American co-star holding it down, and especially a woman in a supernatural show. And the show is successful. Like, you can still have, like, a diverse cast and still be successful with the show because of the writing and what's happening with the show itself.
Absolutely.
But Jenny definitely surprised me. I like the fact that she is totally badass. Oh, my gosh, I like all of them. I don't have a favorite.
It's hard. There's so many likable characters, too.
I know. And then John Cho, even though he's like, his head got all twisted, he got neck problems, but you don't care because he's just on the show and you just want to see more of him.
That's true. That's true. I'm really hoping to see more of Brooks. We're going to talk about him later, but yeah. Love John Cho.
Yeah. So thank you. I just wanted to call. I'll still listen in and comment on Twitter, but I just wanted to say hey.
Awesome. Thank you for calling
in. All right.
Take care.
All right.
So let's talk about romance for a second. Do you think that there will be a budding romance between Abby and Icky?
I'm going to say no. Not just for my own sanity, but just I'm just kind of generally, like I said, along for the ride, and I'm looking at it, and I can see the UST, which in fandom we call unresolved sexual tension, but I don't think it's going to happen. But again, if I start shipping this, I'm going to be no good. I'm going to need a straitjacket. No more fandoms for me in a serious, deep way. But this is fun, but no.
I'll agree with her on that, though.
That was pretty funny. I don't.
For the sake
I'm,
of.
I'm not getting it, but.
Go ahead, Lisa.
I'm going to agree with that. I'm not getting that vibe at all. Not to say that they won't take the storyline and make a sharp left, but I just don't get it. They are very much like brother and sister, for lack of a better description. I don't even see it, like a hint of it. Every now and again, they'll have characters kind of look at each other or you see a little glimmer start to build in someone's eye. I don't even see any of that, and I don't think I want to see it.
Yeah, I feel you on that. For the sake of keeping the show on the good rails that it is, I really hope that the writers choose not to go down that particular path. It's been tried and done before, and if they ever do it, I'll consider the show to have jumped the shark. The feelings between the two are intense. There's no doubt about that. The episode where the Sin Eater was doing his thing on Crane, and Crane was almost at the point of death. And, you know, your heart broke when you saw Abby almost lose her mind at the thought of never seeing Ichabod again. But really, the romance route is cheesy and overused. Besides, Ichabod comes from a time where men were less inclined to be tempted, and look, make no mistake, Abby is hot. but Ichabod loves his wife. He still loves his wife.
Right.
He is willing to go through the fire to get her out of purgatory. And, you know, he still loves his wife. I say that's a good call. Leave the unresolved sexual tension. I don't see it. I agree with Lisa on that. I really don't see that tension there. I just see really intense feelings of love. Not romantic love, but that sort of pragmatic love, that practical, you know, I'm here for you friendship. It's really intense. And I think they should keep that. That sells the show, and you get this wonderful little chemistry between them because you can kind of bounce around on the romantic notions a little bit, but there's nothing serious behind it, and that's what sells it for me.
Yeah. Yeah, I'll be honest with you. At the beginning, about two episodes in, I was like, I would like to see these two have a budding romance. But as this narrative progressed and as the season is coming to a close, I realized that that dynamic between Abby and Ichabod, it would shift. And I don't know if I want to see that, if that romance did ever happen. And I think you're right, Delay. I think that if the writers decided to go down that path, the show would jump the shark. So, yeah, I think that, you know, keep it platonic. Maybe have those little moments where you're just like, oh, that's really, you know, that's a nice little romantic moment between them two. But, you know, nothing more than that.
And Abby's got, like, two other dudes. Like, the one dude who's still kind of like, she had a romance with, and now they're not talking, and now he kind of annoys her, but he still looks like he wants to get with her, so there's that going. We don't know where that's going to go, so.
Right. And we don't know what's going on with Luke either. I don't know what his motive is at this point, but he seems to be like the jealous ex. It's kind of interesting.
Is there any other kind?
Touché. Just addressing some more tweets. We've got... here's my spout. I love that there is so much diversity and no tired stereotype. I agree. She's responding to a tweet from Melody Gordon. Lady Antihero, she says the romantic relationship between Abby and Ichabod would cheapen the plot line of the show. Yep. Jai Music says, I don't think that there will be a romance between Abby and Ichabod. It just got lost. Oh, I don't think that there will be a romance between Abby and Ichabod because Ichabod is a man of honor and he's still married. Yes. And we would lose all respect for him if he decided to go out on his wife like that. So.
Yeah.
That wouldn't be right. So speaking of his wife, Katrina, one of our followers early on, before I had set up this show, I asked some questions, and this was from Sharif Jackson. So he wondered, will Katrina end up being the antagonist of the show?
I feel like Horseshack, but I'm going to wait.
That's a good question.
I think for me, and I can see why he asked this question, Katrina seems to have an excuse for everything. Do you notice that? When something goes awry, like, she's always got this very long-winded explanation and story that's already been, you know, contrived and rehearsed. There is something about Katrina that I don't fully trust her. And I don't know whose side she's on. And she's been in purgatory for a minute, but we don't know who's hanging out there with her and whispering certain things in her ear to tell Ichabod. So, yeah, I can see why he would wonder if she is the antagonist. Is she someone to be trusted?
Yes, we don't know if she's a white witch or a dark witch or the essence of her soul could be used by someone else, and it's not actually her. That could just be an illusion or a vision of her, but that's not really her. If you know what I mean by that.
Right.
I think she's definitely very suspect, and I agree. She does seem to have an answer for everything. The fact that she never mentioned, and it's not like they talk on the phone every day, but she didn't mention to him that they had a child is very shocking, knowing all the things that can take place with the supernatural. Anything could have happened to that child. So to not forewarn him or give him any knowledge, be prepared. It made me look at her a little interesting, and now she keeps saying she knows why she's here. So, yeah, she definitely makes my goals and my radar go up. Red flags everywhere.
Yeah, I'm with you on that. She definitely has the potential to be a villain. Yeah, I can't imagine purgatory being kind to one's skin regimen, for starters. and then, you know, you have the fact that she hides things from Ichabod. The child not being the least of them, I half expected Benjamin Franklin to leap out and said, "Ichabod Crane, you are the father." It's not the kind of thing that you hide from your husband. Dead or not, if you're talking with him via the etherscope, but I guess it passes the telephone in purgatory, if you're talking with him about critical matters and you've hidden that from him, that's a problem for me. And I'm sure that it'll come up later in season two. I'm speculating, and I really shouldn't do that, but I'm interested to see how she deals with, you know, being pulled out of purgatory, assuming that they manage to pull that one off, because that's a big one. They pull her out of purgatory, and suddenly she's thrust into this new world, and all of her secrets will come to bear. I'm pretty certain of that. I just want to see how this plays out. So, yeah, I'm rubbing my hands like a maniac.
real quick, Officer Brooks, John Cho, he's been MIA. Do you expect his undead character to return, or will he work to help or hinder Abby's progress?
He's coming back.
He better. Yeah.
I don't know. I'm on the fence about whether or not he's coming back. Since they got rid of the other guy, I didn't expect him to the past season. We never know if someone's really gone, though, do we? But I'm on the fence about Cho coming back.
Brooks is like the Dobby, the house elf of the show. His attempts to help Abby and Crane so far are always seem to be hindered by the sway that Moloch is holding over his soul. It's kind of serving as a catalyst that serves the show's writers pretty well, actually, for the foreseeable future. I'm just curious to see how his attempts to help will end up derailing the witness's efforts to avert the apocalypse.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think that's interesting.
Well, the show's about to come to a close. Before we end it, real quick, season two predictions. Anybody want to just throw out what they think they'll see in season two?
Predictions.
I think the show
will continue
to be
awesome.
Go ahead.
The show will continue to be awesome. That's about all the length of my prediction. I'm not speculating on anything.
Ditto, Dele. Ditto.
I think we'll see more of whatever power that's over the Headless Horseman that sucked him and Cho out of the room, that did not let them harm Ichabod. We'll get a little more of what that's about in season two. That's all I think will happen, or that I'm willing to guess.
Yeah, I think season two will have some more revealing moments with Katrina. I think there may be a shift of where she is in purgatory. I think that there's going to obviously some more characters that are going to be revealed. And certainly I think John Cho's character, I can see him maybe even coming back as Officer Brooks and there being something to that effect with his character. I don't see him fully playing the undead zombie that he is in season two. So I don't know. I don't know. I just see that. But then again, maybe I just want to see John Cho come back on the show. Maybe I just want to see John Cho in the closet. Yeah. Well, thank you guys so much for coming on. This was great. Tomorrow night, 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on Fox, Sleepy Hollow, the season finale will be on. So I will be live tweeting, as all the rest of us. So definitely, tune in for that. And then next week on the BGN podcast, we will have a show about the best villains. So we've got a team of co-hosts, and we're going to just talk about best villains in movies, television shows, comic books, anime, the whole gamut. So it should be a really, really fun show. So tune in same time next week at 7 p.m. Eastern Time. Thank you, guys.
Thank you.
Pleasure. Thank you for having us.
Absolutely. Take care, guys.
Have a good one.